Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator, Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I am the senior pastor of Island Community Church here on Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. You are tuned in to WGOD Radio. See, God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. All you need to do is go to where he speaks. Tune into his frequency, so to speak. His frequency, naturally, is the word of God. That's what we're going to do here today. We are ongoing in our series on the radio in 1st and 2nd Peter. Unfortunately, our sermon from Sunday won't be able to be broadcast due to an audio glitch, and the sound would be unbearable on the radio. I want to thank Pastor Darren Solana for an excellent sermon on seasons. To watch that, I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel. It's Island Community Church's YouTube channel. You'll see it up there with great sound. Also on Facebook, the Island Community Church Facebook page, our entire service is uploaded from this past Sunday. So I encourage you, listen to that sermon, and it'll help you to understand that we all go through seasons of all types, some more difficult than others. So that's what his sermon was, spot on word, and I encourage you to listen. Unfortunately, we can't hear it here on the radio. Okay, it is Wednesday night, and maybe Wednesday morning, but if you're tuned in at night, you're invited to come to church tonight. We're going to start a brand new study. We are going to wrap up Luke and start the sequel to Luke, which is the book of Acts. One just ties into the other. They're both one long letter he wrote to someone named Theophilus, which means lover of God. That's where we're at, 6 o'clock on this Wednesday night in the book of Acts. We're going to start Acts. That'll take us a good year to get through that. You are invited. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Why don't you guys come by and visit tonight? We roll out the dry erase board. It's open for question and answers. Once you understand that the book of Acts is a historical book, never to be duplicated again, it'll help you understand a lot more of where we are today. So, okay, we'd love to see you tonight. You also can follow along on Facebook on that as well. The service will kick off live on the Island Community Church Facebook page at 6 o'clock. But here's part one from this message now out of 1 Peter chapter 3.
Good morning. Okay, good. There we go. Good morning. Want to greet everyone, too, watching on Facebook here this morning. And thanks for worshiping with us here. And if you will, please, those joining on Facebook, open up your Bibles. We're in 1 Peter. They'll pick it up in about the end of chapter 2 here coming up in just a moment. Knee deep in this great study. Our last time in Peter. By the way, I'm playing that on the radio tomorrow just to get caught up, to go back. That's where we were at a couple weeks ago. So on the radio, again, 6:30 to 7 in the morning. Or if that's too early for a lot of people. Don't nod your head. Your flag is up flying every morning when I go by there at 6 in the morning. 5:30 to 6 as well, 91.5, so that'll play tomorrow, but that's where we left off. Looking, my sermon was focusing on the rock last week. If you remember, we all stumble over the rock when we hear the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. I am the way, he says. No one comes to God the Father except by me, he says. I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. Now, as a casual observer or as an innocent bystander who's perusing the Word of God to see what it's all about, you come across a statement like that that's not written by man or spoken by man. But the Son of God says that to you today. That's the rock that you stumble over. He's in your path and you can't go around him. You need to confront head on the words of the Son of God. If not, then that rock someday will fall on you and grind you to powder, Jesus says. We read he's coming back in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God. Now, that's rather mean, isn't it? You see, today is the day of grace. You got to believe, and that's why I say my favorite verse is today. You know something? It's always today. Have you ever noticed that? It's always today. And as long as it's today, you can respond to his offer of grace that costs you nothing. That costs you nothing. But that's changing. And when it changes, he says he's coming in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God, as mean as you think that that is. That's how he's coming back. And on those that don't obey the gospel. All right, now starting today, the heading over where we're at here today is living before the world. So you're a Christian now. Better yet, you are a Christ follower. That's what the word means. How should you live? As a witness before others and before unbelievers. Peter is going to tell us that submission is the key thing. Submission to the government and those in authority. Submission to masters. And submission to husbands. And a quick word for husbands regarding their wives as well. You know, we're not going to look at that. I think we'll probably pick up on that because I don't want to miss that next week. On husbands that aren't good to their wives or mistreat them. He says it's for this reason your prayers are hindered. When you mistreat your wife, God shuts the door on your prayers. He's got a deaf ear to your prayers when you mistreat your wife. So, okay, let me move on here. Let's pick it up. We're in chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 11. So now you can't say I didn't cover that part. That's probably worst of all, though we're not covering it. Is God to turn a deaf ear to your prayers? How many men want that? Smart people in this church. Chapter 2, verse 11. He says, beloved, he said, look at the first three words. I beg you. The word parakalo means I plead with you. A very important or very essential thing for Peter. He's pleading with you. He's begging you to do this. As sojourners and pilgrims, remember, you're just passing through this world. This world is not your home. You're just passing through. And he's going to plead and beg with you that as you're passing through this world, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Amen. Now, your soul is the key part of you. Because your soul can go either way, however you feed it. Your soul is greatly influenced by what you put into it. So your soul is the one part of you to attack as well. Paul said this, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But if you wanted to, you could put
soul there as well.
Don't be like this world. Don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul. Your soul. Your mind is part of what makes up your soul. I believe, like a lot of charismatics believe on this, that you are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. The Bible seems to teach this. Listen to this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ." You're a three-part being. Body, soul, and spirit. All right, if one verse isn't enough, let me give you one more. Hebrews 4:12. It says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit." Now, sometimes, some Bible writers, sometimes that's interchangeable. Like when you see up in Revelation, "I saw the souls of those under the altar." He didn't see minds under the altar or hearts. He didn't see your intellect. But sometimes spirit and soul, sometimes in the Bible, it's interchangeable. Okay. Your spirit is the part of you that's born again. 1 Corinthians 6:17 declares, "He who was joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Think about that. He who was joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I don't think your spirit sins. I think your flesh and your body is what sins. Your body is what lets you down. Amen. Not your spirit. Your spirit's one with the Lord. Your flesh, Paul said, "I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." All right. So it's like Godzilla versus Mothra. You got a fight going on here. There's one person, there's one part of you that makes you up that's left. Your soul. Your soul means your intellect, your mind, your seat of emotions. You can influence that today. And that determines whether or not you get the daily victory here in this world. What do you do with your soul? Paul said, "Don't be like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul or your mind." Feed your soul with this. Read the Word of God. Listen to sermons on the radio. Listen to praise music. Surround yourself with praise music. Surround yourself with things the Holy Spirit. Feed your soul with things that the Holy Spirit likes. And you'll get this victory. And you'll kick the devil out of your house, out of your head. Your flesh is worthless. Your flesh, sin has got a 99-year lease in your body. And it's a free lease. It costs him nothing. And he won't go away. You've got to find another way. His flesh is not the way. The way is your soul and what you do with it. That's why Peter says here what he says. These things, they war against your soul. Your flesh, the NIV calls it your sinful nature. Your flesh. Okay, let me move on here. But this is how you win these daily battles. Feeding your soul instead of your flesh. Now listen to this verse here. Romans 8:5. It says, "Those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, neither is it able to. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So with that in mind, Peter tells us, Peter begs us, pleads with us as people, Christians, that are just passing through this world, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's a fight going on. This is where the inner conflict comes from. There's a fight going on for you, and it's being waged by you, and it's being fought against you. It's you versus you. Who's going to win? Well, Paul says, thanks be to God, Brent, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got the power to obliterate sin in your life. You get out this old gavel and you smash that old devil over the head. Bill, I'll get you one of these when you get back pastoring. Say, Pastor Paul gave it to me. Whoop some devil, get him out. The victory is ours. But you can't get it with the flesh. Impossible. All right, Peter continues. Verse 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We see Christians behaving badly all the time, don't we? And the end result is egg on God's face. Because people know you are a Christian. And they're watching to see if you are any different than everyone else out here in the world today. Look at what happened to the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. Acts 16:25, it says, midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And the prisoners are watching you as well, church. They're watching you to see if you're just like the world, or to see if this Jesus fellow is real in your life. They want to see if you're scared to walk outside like everyone else. They want to see if you're scared of getting sick like everyone else. Are you any different than the world, or are you just the same? The unbelievers are watching you. They're watching to see if you're any different than everyone else. Do you trust God to get through these things you're going through? Now, verse 13 starts with the word therefore. And the therefore in this case means how you need to conduct yourself out here in the world. Remember, he just said, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that by your doing good things that they're watching you, they may end up glorifying God. Now, verse 13, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors. Uh-oh. Hello, Gretchen. I done failed that one, huh? Submit yourself to Gretchen, the governor of Michigan, who 2 years later has everyone still locked up in their house for the love of Pete. You guys are from Michigan. You ain't going back this year, are you? Why go back and lock yourself in a house? Science says to go lock yourself up at home. Science says don't go out for a bologna sandwich. But you got a conflict here. The word of God says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That is, not for Gretchen's sake, for his sake. So that when people look at you, they'll see you're different than everyone else. By golly, do I fail that. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether the king as supreme. Now remember, too, that Nero was feeding Christians to the lions when he wrote this, and using Christians, dipping them in oil, and using them as human torches to light his little playground. While that was going on, remember, Nero killed Peter. He crucified him upside down some 3 years after writing this. He tells you, with everything that he knows, he says to act and treat and respect the government this way, or the governors. Verse 14, as to those that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, I love the way this Bible translation reads here. Here it goes. Verse 13. This is the New Living Translation. Let me read it. It says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as the head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. You see, arguments won't win this. Submission wins this. Amen. And godliness. Submission and godliness. Last two verses of this paragraph. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone. Love the family of unbelievers. That was an accident. Love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. So live like this and you'll do fine. Now what I'm about to say is not going to make any friends, but rather just more enemies. But I'm on a roll anyway, so why stop now? Here it goes. If you live like this, like the Bible instructs you, then you won't get shot by police. That's right. Amen. Or much like less likely to be false accused of a crime and put in jail. But if you live like a devil, or if you walk in sin, you take yourself out of God's protection. And a new catchphrase I've just invented today. It's called the law of happenstance. When you walk in sin, you are out of the protection of God, and you are now living under the law of happenstance, where stray bullets hit you, where feet get put over your neck, where innocent bystanders die. Don't walk in sin, and these things won't happen to you. Pick and choose anyone you want to see for the last 5 years who has been died and killed, and you'll see every one of them was walking in sin. Stop sinning, and this won't happen to you. Stop sinning. What was once random is now even money. That is freak things happening to you, like a freak injury or a random stray bullet like that which killed Ahab, or some sort of accident, or even being accidentally killed. All these things that shouldn't happen when you're walking in sin, this is now the law of happenstance hangs over you like the sword of Damocles, where anything can happen to you when you're walking in sin. Paul put it this way, Romans 13. Once again, out of the New Living Translation. Verse 1, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Remember, he wrote this when Nero was emperor. He is saying Nero comes from God, came from God, feeding Christians at a lion's. Verse 2. So anyone who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Now, Paul asked the question to all of us this morning, and what he says next. He says, would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? He's asked it 2,000 years ago. He's asking you a question. Black, white, Hispanic, African-American, Italian, German, no matter who you are, would you like to live a life not in fear of the authorities? Then he answers, do what is right, and they will honor you. Golly, that's just so simple, isn't it, Bill? Me and Bill used to do a radio show, and Bill says, you know, I said, Bill, you ought to run for president or Congress or something. And Bill goes, I know the easy way to do it is just to get up and say, everything you've ever heard about me is probably true. And just go out and say it first and get it over with. Then all the lies and the stuff won't work against you. We are sinners redeemed by grace. That's the end of all arguments, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. What you heard about me is right. And not just you, but me and all of us. What you heard about me is probably right, but my God is bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Then do what is right, and they will honor you.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
From Loveworth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
When a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, he is controlled by the Holy Spirit. His walk, his talk, his generosity, his courage, it's all changed by the Holy Spirit of God. But now here's the question. How does a man get drunk? Well, he drinks. But the question is, how does he stay drunk? He has to keep drinking. Don't be drunk with wine, but be being filled. And that's the problem with many folks who have been Spirit-filled, but they've sobered up. We need to continually be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Actually, you must just claim this fullness. Just like you received the Lord Jesus by faith, as you received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Him? By faith. How do you walk? By faith. You just simply say, Lord, I thank You. I open myself up, and I thank You, Lord, that right now You are filling me, and I claim by faith. I don't look for a feeling. I am claiming the filling. Now do that, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.